Welcome to the Brainwave Podcast, presented by Windward Group Publishing and Media. I'm Gail Hulnick, former radio show host turned novelist and travel book writer, and this is a show about creativity. Each week, you'll hear interviews with people from many different creative fields: artists, designers, writers, filmmakers, chefs, architects, choreographers, composers. I'm interested in that charmed moment that leads to a work of art. Where did the idea come from? What did you do next? And what advice would you give others trying to unlock their own creative potential? Thanks for spending some time with me today. Please take a second to tap on the subscribe button on the app. And if you want the episode show notes, please go to windwardgroup.com. That's word with an O. Let's get started. My guest this time is Michelle Blood, a singer-songwriter and spiritual teacher. She is the author of The Magic of Affirmation Power, and she sets affirmations to music. Many people very effectively use affirmations in their daily life. I am healthy. I am strong and powerful. I am getting better every day. If you are mostly analytical, logical, methodical, you think in words, then the left side of your brain is dominant. And if you are more artistic, imaginative, and intuitive, you are said to be right-brained. Songs bring both together. And this idea of combining the words of affirmations with music struck me as one of those surprising yet inevitable creative sparks. Michelle Blood has written dozens of other books on her own and with the late Bob Proctor, the personal development leader. Hi, Michelle, and thank you so much for agreeing to talk with me about this today, and welcome.
Thank you, Gail. The Brainwave Podcast. Whoa.
Yes, and what I like to, it's not at all scientific. Well, perhaps it is in some ways, but what I like to start with is asking each of the guests to tell me about the moment of inspiration, the creative moment that led to, whether it's a painting or a novel, had a couple of buildings, a few architects here as well. So I'd like to ask you, what happened when you got the idea to set affirmations to music?
Well, I was in the hospital in horrific pain, and I was listening to Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. People kept putting on these tapes and a book, audio books, and I really wasn't enjoying the book. But when it came to a chapter where Napoleon Hill was talking about his little infant son who was born completely deaf, and he would go into his little son's room every night for years and do auto-suggestion affirmations. You hear perfectly, son. You grow up to be such a strong, confident, kind, loving man. He ended up getting 30% of his hearing, went to a normal hearing school by the age of five, and went on to become one of the biggest, most successful scientists and entrepreneurs in the hearing aid industry, his son. So that's when I had the inspiration to put affirmations to music. But as a singer-songwriter my entire life, I couldn't get the affirmation to go into my subconscious mind because I was in too much pain, and my doubting mind kept spitting it out, going, that is not the truth. That's not what you're being told. And then after a couple of weeks of attempting to do the affirmation, I had an epiphany, like full on. Oh my God, you cannot get a song out of your subconscious mind. So I'm a songwriter. I'll just create songs with affirmations. And I became healed, and the rest is history.
And as you point out in your book and elsewhere, it is a really interesting combination, because we all know about left brain and right brain, and that putting those two together perhaps is part of the secret of why this works, do you think?
Yeah, because the lyrics, or what people call, you know, the affirmation song, the affirmations I made into lyrics. Left side of the brain, right side of the brain, melody and music. So that's why you have a whole brain experience that goes 300 times faster into the subconscious mind than attempting just to speak them or write them. And that's why the late and great Bob Proctor, who just recently left the body, my very, very good friend, and we've written so many things together, created so many events globally together. When he first met me, That is why promoters had me sing at his event, which he didn't want a singer. He's like, I'm Bob Proctor. We don't have singers. I don't need entertainment. And halfway through the night, he came back to the green room and he said, I did not want you doing this tour around Australia with me. And I said, well, g'day, mate. Nice to meet you too. And he said, but now I love it. I get it. I've never seen anything like it. The audience are just on fire and you just enthuse them and the energy with the music. He said, I remember every lyric already and I've only heard each song once. He said, I want to work with you all over the world. And him and his wife made that happen.
And that is such a, I mean, it's a fascinating area of brain science and brain chemistry and so on. And there are a number of books, I think, of your brain on music and things like that, that what is going on? What is just so fascinating? What is going on in the brain that leads us to the situation? And I'm sure we've all had this experience, but I remember song lyrics that I heard when I was 9 years old. For some reason, it's there and it has stayed with me all these years. And so I suppose with the affirmations, it's the same sort of thing that Bob was able to remember so instantly and that it stuck with him.
Yeah, like little kids, that's how they remember their ABCs, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, because they sing it. Because what happens when it's music and it's uplifting music, let's look at it that way, it does, you know, it's been proven now. Back in the day when I was talking about this, neuroscientists hadn't proven it yet, but now there's so many studies and John Hopkins, I mean, great, celebrated scientific studies that music changes your vibration. It actually changes the way you feel. And then if you've got positive lyrics to go with it, it's an immediate, oh, I feel good. Like James Brown, I Feel Good and I Knew That I Would. What a great affirmation song.
Yes, right. So people were doing it, not even really realizing they were doing it. And then you come along and redefine afterwards. And yes, you say there's an affirmation. And we could probably think of a dozen or hundreds of examples. Michelle, when you think back to when you first started doing this, and I know you've been doing it for some time now, but when you think back to when you first started, what were the differences between the sorts of songs you'd been singing before and the experience that you had and the feelings that you had as a performer on stage, just simply singing songs versus singing something that was so heartfelt and went right to the core of you?
Well, all the songs that I wrote and recorded, we had videos and records out everywhere, were all songs that I wrote about an experience that I'd been through. So it was really, it's like, you know, mere dust without your baby because some bloke broke up with me, you know. And then you have to keep singing it every night, but you've forgotten what the guy's name was, you know.
That was one of my important too.
Yeah, and remember me, you know. Oh, and we had a lot of great, fun, upbeat songs as well. But what I realized was I had a fan once feel suicidal after listening to Mere Dust when there's just this teenage kid. And I ended up writing to her and then calling her mom because she wrote to me and she said, you know, your song's helping me want to commit suicide. And I was like, oh my God. And this was just after I healed myself. And I said, that's it. I'm never, ever going to do any of my old music again. I think some of them are good, but I just want to do these affirmation songs and make it the most positive music that fills the brain and fills the body with positivity. And I can do it. One of my favorite songs I've written, I Can Do It. And it's to change people's lives. And now millions of people have downloaded my music globally for many, many years. And so many, Brian Tracy, so many different people, Jack Canfield, all these people I've known over the years that use my music at their events or many times just have me come and sing and speak. But what I really love, can I share something that's really
certainly.
Awesome? For 8 months now, I've been working with this amazing young team of brilliant technicians with my own team as well that have worked with me for 20 years, Trevor and John, and we've created an app, Magnet to Money app, so people can get notifications and get that's the most famous song that I've written, that people all over the world have even done it in different languages asked me. And I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. Mm-hmm. Whatever's going to help you raise yourself up and not get into fear of money, because it's just a fun, silly song about being a magnet to money and money, money loves me. And it's such a great, fun song. It gets people out of the fear of money, because people would rather talk about sex than money. They mm-hmm. take it too seriously and that scares the money away. And so this helps uplift people. And so it's only 99 cents a month, and they get my audio book for free as well, The Magic of Affirmation. I mean, all these extras. And so it's just literally been launched 2 days ago.
Well, and you're
magnet
right on
to money, magnettomoneyapp.com. So that's something that people can utilize to bring themselves into prosperity consciousness and positive thinking about money, that can notify them every hour if they want. Just that they're a magnet to money. So that's, I just wanted to share that, because that's, you're the first person I've been able to share it with.
Oh, certainly, certainly. And I mean, you're right on top of the trend, of course. I mean, I don't even know if we call it a trend anymore, because apps blew up and exploded a couple years back. And but a lot of people have not jumped on the trend, and they're still putting out, you know, paperback books or whatever. And we have to recognize that in order to communicate, this is the way people are receiving their information now. I was through an airport a month or so ago, and it just kind of popped into my head, but I couldn't get over how, oh, nobody reads. I don't see anybody with a newspaper, a magazine, a book, but every single person had a phone in their hand. And of course they're, but that's where they're reading, and that's where they're receiving the communication. So congratulations to you for putting out an app. That's wonderful.
Well, it's a lot of work. I mean, the technology, and I designed it to sort of look similar to my book, The Magic of Affirmation Power. So it's filled with light and fun and videos and tutorials and so many different things, because I realize, not being of that era myself, that I wanted people my age or younger, you know, that age where you're not used to apps, to really, really have it very, very clear and easy for them to understand, so they could set it as a ringtone or whatever they choose, or even an alarm. And so that was fun. Where I was just so fussy with it. I wanted it to be the most simple thing to be able to use that would also give you joy. So the next one I'm going to do will be, you know, from the album I did with Bob Proctor, it'll be Magnet to Success, and have all those songs. And I'm just going to keep doing it with meditations. And I think it's such a lovely way to bring positivity to the younger kids as well.
I've been thinking about affirmations a lot in the last few days, especially knowing that I was going to be speaking with you. And I saw something, and in that wonderfully coincidental way, in which there are no coincidences, went across my Instagram, and it was a reel, and it was heartbreaking in a way. It was a little girl, maybe 5 or 6 years old, sitting in a chair in a salon, beauty salon, and she's going to have her hair done or whatever it's going to be. But she's looking into the mirror at herself, and the stylist is standing behind her, and she's looking into the mirror, and she goes, "I so ugly." And my heart just broke. It was just so sad. I so ugly.
How could a little girl.
But the beautiful thing about it was the stylist took over, and she put her arms around her and started telling her that she was so beautiful and so, I'm going to choke up just talking about it. So beautiful and so pretty. And she got the little girl repeating after me, look in this mirror and say, "I so pretty." And I think that that's the magic of affirmation power, isn't it?
It really is. And this is why I recorded this. I Can Do It, positive self-esteem song for kids. And it's got songs like "I Am Strong" and "I Am Beautiful" and all the little baby animals on the cover of the album. I do voiceovers as well, so they sing along with me. And like the panda talks about how, where he comes from in the world. So it's educating them on all these different animals as well, and what they eat, and if they're endangered or not. So Deepak Chopra actually suggested I do one for kids. That's why I did this one.
Lovely, lovely. I want to get into it with you a little bit on a deeper level, the creativity in general and the songwriting that you do. And thinking back to when you first got started, before you came to this kind of work, What was it about your childhood, do you think, or your nature or whatever it might have been that led you to be the sort of person who was making something out of nothing, which is essentially what creativity is, I think, creating something that was never there before?
Well, I love this. Can we take a deeper dive?
Yeah.
The deeper dive, and I didn't know about this sort of thing until after I was off the grid for about 12 years of my life, Gail, studying meditation with an enlightened teacher. Didn't do any books, didn't do any seminars, didn't do anything because I just wanted to find my soul, who I was, what I was here for. And even though I'd been working all over the world and had huge success, I was just like, that's it. I'm going to find out why I'm here. And so my mother said I could sing radio songs from the radio after listening to them just once when I was only two. She said it was insane. She said you couldn't even speak fluently yet, but you could sing anything. So it's a past life thing, you know, and it's like whatever I used to do in past lives, which I won't go into all that stuff now because that's not really why I'm here, is to talk about that sort of thing. I'm here to talk about you're born with gifts that you have learned in past lives. And I think a spirit as well that is free. If there's something about you just have to be free. Like Mum said, I was so shy. She thought I was shy, but I just didn't really have anything to share that much with people, except she said once you got on the stage, when the first estevet I ever did when I was like four that the nuns put me on, Mum said you just were on fire and you won everything. And she said, I didn't even know you could sing properly. And she said, I don't know how it happened. No one taught you. That was it. So that I didn't have a choice. It was like that was it in my life. It wasn't like, oh, should I do it? Should I take a risk? It's like, no, I'm just going to sing. And, of course, I did lots of other jobs while I was creating success as a singer and a rock singer to make money. I wasn't going to, you know, be on the dole or anything. So, I mean, I did hairdressing. I did lots of different types of work. But it was all to support the foundation of my life, which was music.
I think so many parents would relate to this. I mean, you see, you know, 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds who know how to snowboard. Where did
right?
They can barely walk. Well, I guess maybe
or
a little
piano.
Younger than
3.
Or play piano. Yeah, a Mozart.
Mozart. Hello.
Yeah. Did you have any, have you had times throughout the years, whether in the early days or even more recently, where you faltered, where the mission or the purpose has been hard to follow and you haven't, you've had doubts?
Never had any doubts, but I did have fears. I had fears because, when I first came to America, I made a decision after so many people said, you know, even Deepak Chopra, America will love you. But once I got here, there was no one I knew and no one I could support. And because I was on tour with them, I could easily speak to any of these people. Bob Proctor lived in Canada. And so I found it, nobody knew me and I had to start from scratch. And I made a decision that I was not going to leave America until I had conquered it. And I loved that nobody knew who I was. And I started doing gigs at the Learning Annex and a lot of Science and Mind churches. And before I knew it, I had already, within the first 2 years, I had worked in 40 states of America on my own, lugging my CDs and my books on trains and all this sort of thing too. And eventually I got my green card and I did all of this. Well, I don't say on my own. It's with my higher self, my God, whatever you choose to call your God, that supported it. But, yeah, there were many, many times where I didn't doubt, but I was fearful that maybe it won't work. So I guess that's sort of a doubt, but at the same time I would immediately go, next, nope, I'm not even going to think that thought because your thoughts create your reality. You know this, Michelle. So I just lugged it out. I mean, at one stage I was sleeping on somebody's kitchen table. I mean, I ran out of money and I was so it was very, very, it reminded me of my early rock and roll days where they would just give us horrible accommodation, you know, the venues to stay in. Because at one stage I was touring for 7 years straight, not any time off all around Australia. So anyway, so good question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that before.
Oh, okay. Well, let's carry on then. I've actually recently interviewed a rock singer, someone working currently, and was saying, and you've probably heard this before, maybe it's something that's often said among singers, but that professional singers, that I sing for free. They pay me for the travel. But the singing, the actual performing, I do for free.
I guess it's like, I just love making an audience happy. I have since I was a little kid. But managing the rock band as well, I had to hire the road crew, hire and rent all the equipment, buy it bit by bit, because we did venues to 4,000 to 6,000 people a night, and we had to bring all our own equipment. So I remember one of my road crew one night said to me, he said, I just met Michael Hutchins from INXS in this burger place after the gig, because we were supporting them at one stage as their opening act. Mm-hmm. And he borrowed money from me for a burger, because every rock musician in Australia, no matter how famous they are, until they go overseas, are broke. You guys are all broke, because every cent is put towards the production and the lighting and of the road course. Crew. And very interesting.
It is. And actually, it jumps to my next question, which was going to be about your decision to come to America. But perhaps the answer is already there then, is why America? Why not stay in Australia? Why come here and start over? But
Good question. But I'd already left Australia. I'd been out of Australia for over 5 years. And I was working all over the world. And my base camp was Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, because I had huge records there and in different countries near there, and I was singing in a lot of different languages, and I ran Bob Proctor's business globally from Kuala Lumpur. Oh. So, I mean, I was doing incredible things. And then things started getting a little hairy in Malaysia, because it's a Muslim country mainly. And one night I saw someone being shot on the side of the road, and this gay friend of mine was put in jail for life for being gay. And I was like, no, I can't do this anymore. And I was offered to go to so many different places where I started becoming known, even London. But I'd done a few gigs in America already with Bob Proctor when he came down to do some. And I just loved the American people. It's like an I can do it. Success is not a dirty word here. And other countries, it's more like the tall poppy syndrome sometimes. And it's like, don't say you're good, or don't say you're great, or don't say you can't. Imagine the affirmations are all about the greatness within you, you know, which is that spirit. And so I loved the spirit of the Americans. And as I was touring on my own, eventually I started getting asked by Jack Canfield and all these other people who started hearing about me to come and do gigs with them and at huge Science and Mind churches, and started my own students as well, globally from all over the world. So I just loved the spirit of the place, and I found people weren't just friendly, they were extremely helpful. And I mean, I've been all over America and all types of different audiences, but the one thing I know is every culture that I've spoken and sang in so many different cultures, no matter what their religious upbringing or culture, everybody's the same. Everybody wants to be on purpose. They want to be able to be helpful. They want to make other people happy. They want to be successful in their life. They want to be able to assist people that are suffering, especially when there's things that go on in the world. You can really see people's spirit come forth and want to be, that's humans, most humans, that's their nature. But in America, it's just so friendly.
And I like, as you say, I think you put your finger on, there are many aspects, but the can-do spirit, absolutely. What do you think then, Michelle, what is going on with people who aren't there in their life? If they're depressed or they hear all the words intellectually that, yeah, I get it, I should have a sense of purpose. There needs to be a reason to get out of bed each day. Okay, my sense of purpose is, well, I'm going to be the best possible whatever it is, clerk somewhere that I can be. Like, they've heard it all before. It just doesn't really penetrate. and they deal with depression or they deal with depression or anxiety, all of those things.
I am loving this interview. I've got God bumps right now because this is a question that really does need an answer, because these are people that are suffering. Yeah. And when I see anything, anybody, even a tree dying needs water, suffering, it just floors me. And so I've done a lot of study on this and found many different tools that will assist people. And I've worked with a couple of doctors with this as well, finding out what to do. See, first of all, you don't need to know the source. A lot of therapists think you need to find the cause of why they're depressed. Mm-hmm. That could be just coming back from Iraq. They could have been coming back from Vietnam and they're still damaged 50 years later. They could have, a child could have died. Whatever the original cause to make them break down doesn't matter. What we've got to look at is what we can do to assist these people to get out of that box of depression, of I can't do it anymore, this is just not working for me, life sucks. And some people say, oh, it's just ego, they're into fear. And I'm like, just have a heart, have compassion. It doesn't matter what you think it is. This person is suffering for a reason, and there's got to be a lot of different ways that we can assist them. Now, I know I'm talking about the affirmation music a lot, but it has assisted so many people that have been in deep, deep depression, because what happens is it's like air conditioning or an autopilot on an aeroplane, Gail. People are in a certain vibration. Now it's been proven. We oscillate at a vibration. It's a frequency. And when we are below the frequency that we're used to being at, you know, it's like something happened. It's very, very challenging. Say, for example, it was always at 70 degrees, but something happens and we go down to 65 degrees and we can never seem to get back to 60 degrees, 70 degrees. And even if we do, we oscillate between those two vibrational frequencies. Mm-hmm. And so it's the doubting mind never allows the spirit, okay, might be a funny movie or something, but then it comes back down to 70 or 65. And what has to happen is you've got to make a jump over that. So you can go off autopilot, off what the frequency is, and get into a new frequency. And there are many, many different methodologies to assist. One of the studies that was done was when a lot of these people were really depressed, and some of them were hospitalized from depression. So they did a big deep dive study. And what they did was they had people go out, they would drive them to make food for people, to assist people that were homeless, to do all this stuff for other people. And 99% of these people came out of depression. But the thing is, if you're in a depression, how do you know? How can you get out of your head to know that helping others is going to assist you? It's very challenging. You're going to have a support system that is there for you. And if you don't, what then? Well, then you just listen to the affirmation music. Do whatever you can, even if you don't believe it or don't want to hear it, it'll bring up your vibration and the doubting mind will eventually die down. You won't hear it anymore. You'll hear, I'm a success, persistence. You'll hear all this fun. I'm strong and I'm beautiful. And even if what happens is it makes people laugh after a while. They're like, why am I listening to these silly little songs? And why do I want to keep listening to them? I just can't get these songs out of my head. And before they know it, they're laughing. And we have testimonials from thousands of people, video testimonials as well, from all over the world that were in deep, deep depression or in such financial straits they couldn't, like there's one man in Ireland who owned this furniture store with all these beautiful crafts from people from all indigenous people from all over the world, and he was going broke, but he couldn't get himself out of the depression or whatever it was to go bankrupt or leave the store or start something new until I kicked him in his spiritual ass.
I bet he didn't know he had one.
Yeah, and got him to snap out of it. And now he teaches meditation and does all these amazing things in Ireland. So I've got so many stories, but you just need a little helping hand. He cried out in help. Somebody help me. He started going through YouTube and looking at, you know, how can I get out of this depression? And he found my videos on YouTube. And something about watching the videos and hearing the information and the music lifted him up enough for his doubting mind to be silenced for a while. And that's how he got in contact with me.
And interrupting the pattern, as you say. And I like how you made a moment there, mentioned a moment ago about, you know, watching a funny movie won't help you or whatever. It has to be a dramatic change. And I think a lot of the, and it's good, I'm not arguing against self-care, but there's so much emphasis on self-care nowadays. And sort of you're having a hard time at the office or you're, you know, something's happened in your family or whatever. So you need to just a nice weighted blanket or a cup of tea and take some time for yourself. It's not quite enough. There needs to be, I'm not saying don't do that, but there needs to be much more than that going on.
Yeah, but do that.
I say, I'm not arguing against a good cup of tea.
No, no, self-care is important. Even if you're a happy, positive person and you work around the clock, you still need to get off the clock, get off the grid. People don't understand what information is going into their subconscious mind when they leave their phone on at night or the computer's still on. You know, when people want to sleep or, you know, take care, I say to them, turn everything off. You know, see if you can get out your old DVD player. Don't even have the computer. Don't even stream. Get off the grid.
Completely. Oh, one of the most important things, sleep as well. I think a person can have some of the best intentions in the world and even have that sense of purpose that's so necessary. And perhaps they are helping others and so on. But if their sleep isn't working, nothing works very well. That's so true. Arianna Huffington has made quite a project of that, of trying to heal people in that way. It's just, it is something that we all really need to get at. I'd like to ask you about something, and I don't know whether this has ever been put to you before, but what do you think of those who say it's all toxic positivity and there's just too much positivity and too much upbeat, and you don't, if you're sort of telling me positive affirmations or this will help you, you don't really understand my problem?
Oh, well, gosh, back in the day,
Did you ever get that?
Oh, my gosh. I remember this radio interview I did in New York. It was a midnight thing and you had to be there in person. And this particular cantankerous man, this radio interview, he said, this is BS. And he didn't just say BS. I don't know how he got over those days cursing like he did. He said, I think you're full of crap. I don't believe in any of this. You're talking about meditation and light and spirit. And he said, I just think it's a... So I kept playing around with him and I said, well, I think that's awesome because you are not a sheep. You're not just following what everybody else will say. And I think that's really important for people to, if they doubt something, experiment, see if it works for you first. If it doesn't, do something else. Not every method is going to work for every single person, because some people just get, I know what it was like when I was in the hospital, depressed, suicidal, couldn't move to do anything. And people would come in, hi, Michelle, come on, you'll be okay. I would just want to tear them apart because you're at a different frequency. You're here and they're coming in there like they're farting daisies. So when you're not in that frequency, it's very, very annoying. You know, those annoying, happy people. So it's just that their frequency is different. Or they, you know, anyway, that guy ended up having me on every month. He loved having fights with me. And when I got to meet him afterwards, we'd have supper in these great Italian restaurants in New York at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And he was so fun and so positive. But that was just his shtick, whatever you call it. So yeah, I've had many interviews where people say things, or I've had horrific emails from people, but I just know I don't take anything personally because I know that this worked for me and I've shared it with other people, and some of it they love, some of it, oh, I just want to do the affirmations, I just want to do the visualization. I don't want to learn deep mysticism and meditation though, Michelle. And I'm like, fine, that's not for you. Maybe in a couple of years it will be, but that's fine. As long as you get uplifted, you get yourself out of bed, you remember to make your bed and do your dishes, just a couple of little things like that. Make sure, you know, for someone, if you know someone in your life who is depressed and they're really, you know, go into their home and clean it out for them, because what you see makes you feel worse. If your place is chaotic and it's untidy and there's dishes in the sink, give that person new linen, new pillows, just flowers everywhere. Just go in, be obnoxious if you have to, because there's someone you love you want to help, and make their place sparkling. It will clean their it makes you feel good. When you walk into a place and it's shiny and bright and clean and dust-free, doesn't it make you feel good?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing you can do. And if you can get yourself to do it as well, or get in, you know, these great people I know that do organizing. They'll actually come into your home and get rid of all the crap and organize stuff so it's all neat and tidy, because some people cannot get rid of their luggage, so to speak. They've got to get someone else to do it. No, I might wear that one day, or I might be that size again.
Absolutely. And that's literally, they cannot get rid of their baggage and their old clothes and so on, and metaphorically and metaphysically and as well, as some people just need a little
meta
little
everything.
Help. Meta everything, yes. Michelle, thank you so much for speaking with me. It's just been a delight, inspirational. Thank you.
And I've got something to give to your wonderful listeners as a gift that's absolutely free.
Yes.
If they just go to Michelle Blood, MichelleBlood, blame my father, it's a real word, MichelleBlood.com/brainwave, they will receive lots of my favorite music, The Magic of Affirmation Power audiobook, The Magnetic Creative Visualization, quite a few different gifts for free.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gail.
Michelle Blood is a singer-songwriter and transformational leader who has had millions of people download her songs. She's presented her music at events hosted by Jack Canfield and the late Bob Proctor, and she has hosted events herself all over the globe. Her tagline is, "The purpose of life is enlightenment," and her websites are www.michelleblood.com and www.themysticalexperience.com. Her book is The Magic of Affirmation Power, and her most recent project is an app that features affirmations about money and bringing prosperity into your life. Next time on the Brainwave podcast, my guest is novelist James A. Ross with the story of the charmed moment that led to the writing of his novel, Hunting Teddy Roosevelt. I'm writing a piece of historical fiction myself right now, and the challenges of getting the balance between fact and fiction are on my mind constantly, and I'm looking forward to hearing Jim's take on this. This time, I leave you with a quote from Ukrainian businessman Viktor Pinchuk. "Art, freedom, and creativity will change society faster than politics." Thanks for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and found it helpful. If you did, please mention it to a few friends or pass it along on social media and tag us if you do. And please tap the subscribe button on your podcast app and take a minute to leave a ranking or a review. You might also like the backlist available at Windward Group Publishing and Media, and that's www.windwardgroup.com/brainwavepodcast. And Windward is spelled WINDWORD. You'll also find the show notes for today's episode there too. If you'd like to connect, you can find us on Facebook at Windward Group Publishing and Media, on Twitter at Windward Publish, and on Instagram at WindwardPNM. I'm Gail Hulnick. Please join us next time.